Happy New Year 2021. This is the Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. Got some great topics today on the solo show. We got four of them. We'll get to local Michigan and Michigan State basketball later on in the show. Right now, we'll talk NBA basketball. And before we get into the two topics that are Russell Westbrook, triple doubles and losing, and why one and done is most important for NBA future of our American players, let's talk Detroit Pistons. I've had a few conversations locally with people here. I live in a state. I'm from the state. I love the state. I'm a sports fan of all the teams in our state. I like to bounce around and have my second team because losing sucks. That's where we are with our local teams. The Red Wings growing up, we always knew they had a shot. The Lions, we knew never had a shot. But the Pistons were always pretty good. You know, growing up, you know, you had the Bad Boys. And then you get into my high school years, you had the new improved Bad Boys with Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups. I actually played at the Palace, met these guys. They were a great team, great organization. We had years of good basketball with the Detroit Pistons, and then all hell broke loose. We could have continued to have great years if we would have drafted right. I won't go that route today. Here's where we are right now today, though, with the Detroit Pistons. I think everybody that had any sense of NBA basketball and did their research, or somebody that watches it all the time, or you got your mainstream media guys, I think everybody knew Detroit was going to have a bad year. I think what happens, though, is you have a choice to make when you run your organization. We're preparing for the future. We know it's going to be rough, but we hope in 3 or 4 years things will go well. We noticed that with the 76ers. They had guys, but a bunch of guys got hurt. Their whole comment was trust the process, trust the process. They got to the playoffs. They made a little bit of noise, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose there, and it wasn't good enough. Now they have Doc Rivers, and I think they'll be even better. Detroit is in that situation where I think the moves they made from day one were not bad moves. I think you bring in a younger player like Jeremy Grant, who's playing, you know, has had great moments. And I don't think they should have paid certain guys as much as they did. But I see where they're going. I get the direction. We want to get young. We want to hand the keys to our young guys. And we're hoping in 3-4 years, we'll be a really good basketball team. We'll be a playoff team. We'll be fighting in the middle of our conference, maybe. I think that's what Detroit is, and I think it's because it's so competitive, especially in the Eastern Conference. I think they're willing to do that. I think eventually, you know, if Blake Griffin can just play okay and they can try to get rid of him for a couple other guys, if he's sellable, which I don't think he is, I don't think Derrick Rose is either, you know, I think you maybe would have something even better. But I think where we are with Detroit right now is the young kids they have, I like them. You know, I think Killian Hayes will only get better. I didn't expect him to come in and be, you know, a rookie of the year. Nobody did. I think Isaiah Washington provides a lot of things we already knew. He's physical. He's aggressive inside. Goes after shots. Can rebound at times. Can do some things offensively. You know, decent post-up game. Sadiq Bey looks really good at times. I think we all kind of knew that. We knew a guy like Mason Plumlee, who's been around, is an okay backup. Not really a star guy. We know that part. But it's just a rebuild. It's a rebuild, guys. You can't have it both ways. You know, you can't say it was terrible decisions by this guy. You know, we should want more. You don't have that opportunity. They made the moves they made. They wanted to get younger. They drafted pretty well. They're thinking about 2, 3, 4 years down the line. This is what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of bad basketball. The Detroit Red Wings and the Pistons are the same. They're absolutely the same. One is maybe a prouder organization, the Red Wings, with winning, but as far as what you see today, it's the same quality. It's not great either way. So you have to understand that and say, okay, you know, this is what it is. I'm on board or I'm off board. I mean, the fans is who I'm talking to now when it comes to Detroit Pistons basketball. You have to know that it isn't going to be good. What you have to do is get excited about the young players. That's what you should do. You should watch it for what it is. Expect to not win. Maybe you get better by the end of the year and you start surprising some teams. Say, hey, this is a team that and the future could be good the next few years. Maybe that's where we are, but get off the situation where these were terrible moves. What were we thinking? Look, it was already bad. It was already bad with the certain guys you had. You got younger. You got younger, and you just hope that the future is bright. That's my stance with Detroit Pistons basketball right now. I don't want to sit here. And you can't have it both ways, and I'm not going to have it both ways. I like we have younger players. I hope they continue to get better. And the hope is that in a few years, this is a playoff basketball team, and we'll see what happens. And maybe one of those guys we drafted really turns out to be a player. You know, and that has happened before. That has happened before in this league. So we'll see. Main topic, so Russell Westbrook, triple-double machine, but Washington can't win a basketball game. We've seen this before in the past with him. Russell Westbrook is an amazing talent, guys. This is a tough one for me, and I want your thoughts on this, but I just don't think he's a winning basketball player. And I don't think, you know, this is different. This is a team that doesn't have a whole lot. They do have Bradley Beal and him, but it's just not a lot there. But I've said this before, and I'm just going to reiterate on what I've said many a times through my talks with the game of basketball. There's just certain guys that aren't winning players. And winning players don't necessarily always have to have the best numbers, but they make winning plays. Now, your superstars, yes, your KDs, your LeBron, you know, your Giannis, your James Harden, you know, Jimmy Butler kind of a little bit last year. There's certain guys in this league, you know, Damian Lillard, going to get ridiculous numbers, and their team's winner. They're competing all the time. LeBron is a championship team most of the time, if not all the time. You know, he's going to have great numbers at times, and they win. You know, he does it a certain way, though, where he gets others involved. Kevin Durant can take over a game scoring the basketball-wise. It's efficient. It's winning basketball. When you watched him with the Warriors, he played really well with other guys. He got great numbers, but he was willing to average a couple points per game less so everybody else can get theirs as well. Russell Westbrook is not that guy. Russell Westbrook is the guy you play with, whether it's pickup, whether it's high school, college, pro, he dominates the basketball. James Harden is the same player. He's just more talented and more skilled. Both of those guys are the same type of personality and player, though. I'm going to get mine, and we'll just see how the stacks, you know, the chips stack up. That's always going to be those two, in my opinion. I cannot see. I would be shocked if James Harden ever changed his ways. I can't see James Harden going to an organization like the Nets that was talked about. I think it fell apart because I don't think it would work. I don't think he would allow Kyrie to get his. I don't think he would want KD to get his. I think he thinks, I'm an MVP, forget you, I run the show. And I think that's partially the reason why the Rockets could never get over the hump. They had enough talent. They had good players. It didn't work with Westbrook and him. I mean, those two together, what a nightmare. And the sad part is they're both just such good players. They're such talented players, but they're not winning players. And, you know, maybe get to the playoffs, but they'll never win a championship the way they play. You have to want others to be successful. You got to want to pass the ball. You got to want to let your teammates shine sometimes. Those two just aren't going to allow it to happen. The guy I feel bad for, who I will feel more bad for as this continues to happen in Washington, is Bradley Beal, because he is unbelievable at times. And Russell Westbrook completely is taking over the show, and they're 0-5. Russell Westbrook is going to have to say, I don't need a triple-double. I need wins. I'm willing to let other guys get better so we can win some darn basketball games. Anybody that's played or knows the game knows this. If you sit back and let your numbers dwindle a little bit, but other guys on your team are getting better, you win. It's simple. I seen it in high school when I played. I'm the best player on my high school team. I averaged more when we lost, points-wise, than I did when we win, because I let other guys score. I let other guys get theirs. We were a stronger team. And then when they really needed me to step up, then yeah, I could take over and dominate. But every level, it's like that. You have to let guys play. You don't have to bring the ball up the court all the time. I always loved the Warriors in the past. Draymond would bring it up sometimes. Steph's on the wing. They do, you know, curl action with Clay. Steph pops. You know, he gets it, shot fakes, kicks it out to Draymond. Draymond will drive, kick it to Clay or whoever else. I mean, it was just ball movement and letting other guys at least touch the basketball. Russell Westbrook is not that guy. He's the guy that's going to drive into two or three guys, make a jump pass to an open player. That's not good basketball, though. That's, I'm doing it all. You guys let me do it. And it will never work. It will never work. And I think it will never work for James Harden as well. So I'm kind of adding the James Harden piece to this. Russell Westbrook's not a winning basketball player, but he is one damn good one. But there's a difference. The next topic is hard for me because I've dealt with this for a while now, and I had these conversations with all of these professional basketball folks who are all know-it-alls, whether they're from Europe or they're from here. We've got a lot of those running around. But I made a good statement to a friend of mine who is located in Spain about the difference, you know, between overseas basketball and American basketball. And he made a great point. I kind of doubled up on it. And the biggest problem, you know, a lot of people always argue, why isn't certain guys getting drafted higher from the States? You know, they're great college players. Like a Cassius Winston, four-year player at MSU. His last 2 years, he was amazing. Arguably, the best point guard in college basketball 2 years in a row. So the problem we're having with American basketball is this. Most of the times, I've talked to parents about this as well. Every time your kid plays travel ball, if he's 14, he's 15, he's playing against 14 and 15-year-old kids. There's only one time in his life where he is actually playing against older kids, and that's in regular high school basketball. The problem is in regular high school basketball, typically in today's day and age, it's not ultra competitive. If you play prep school basketball against the elite players, you are now maybe playing against older elite players. That's the only time in your basketball life until you get to college where you're playing against older players. Whereas in Europe and other places, you get these young kids like a Luka, who's 13, 14 years old, and he's playing against 20-year-old men. He's 15 years old. He's out there playing against 25, 26, 30-year-old men. And that's why the one-and-dones are so important, because it's the one real time when you're playing against men. You're playing against juniors, seniors in college. You're playing against guys that have been developed. And if you're out there playing really well and you're leading your college basketball team to the next level, you get to March Madness and you have good numbers and you leave after that first year, NBA execs will say, this guy can compete right now against men. He proved it in college, one and done. There he is. If you're staying longer, you're basically playing like you were an AAU. Kids your same age or you're older than some of the kids. Because let's just be honest, we know how AAU works. We know some of these kids are playing against kids younger than them sometimes. And that's where we fall off. And that's why the NBA is the way it is. And I wanted to touch on that today because I think it's very important. I think people don't understand that part. That's why I have a few friends of mine who coach their sons or people that I know that I've dealt with in the game of basketball through our state, even in Michigan, where they want to play up all the time. And I'm telling them, yes, this is you have to do that. Think back when we were younger kids playing in our generation. I'm 36 years old. I'm playing playground basketball, pickup basketball, playing against my dad, my older brother, all these grown men. That's what made me a great player, playing against older players. It doesn't happen as much anymore because pickup basketball outdoors on the playgrounds isn't as prominent as it once was. AAU basketball, grassroots is everything. EYBL, all this hype, that's everything. But they're not playing against people stronger than them, more athletic than them. They're playing against kids their same age. So the one and done, guys, it's always going to be the most important decision you make if you're a basketball player growing up in this country. Because it's the only time you can prove that you can play against people older than you, more athletic than you, and maybe even stronger than you, but you're just better than them or just as good as them. The sad part is the ones that do stay get overlooked. And that's tough because you're trying to get an education and you want to stay for your college program. You have pride in your college program, but you're for your NBA future, you're going to be judged. Cassius Winston is a better basketball player, in my opinion, than LaMelo Ball. I just feel that way. LaMelo Ball has upside potential, but LaMelo Ball went overseas, played really well against grown men. Definitely had the hype factor. Yes, that matters. Attention does matter. Player for player, I think Cassius Winston is a better basketball player than LaMelo Ball. But his story is, I stayed 4 years at Michigan State. I played Big Ten basketball. And when I was at my best, I was the oldest player typically on the floor. That's how they're being judged. I'm telling you right now, I've heard this from numerous people, and that's what it is. So it's tough. It's tough if you're a young player and you really have big dreams. It's something you're going to have to think about. What am I doing to prove that I'm willing to play against older players? And when I am at the point of I'm one and done situation, I'm outplaying guys older than me. And if you're a parent with young kids, play your kids up. Get them prepared for that. I think that's huge. So that's just my insight on it. It's a quick little segment there. Let's jump to local stuff. Michigan State, Michigan. Basketball-wise, I thought Michigan looked really good last night. I mean, I thought that the leadership they have is what is lacking at Michigan State. Guys like Eli Brooks, Mike Smith, they're running the show. Franz Wagner looked incredibly poised. So did Livers. Shondre Brown comes in and does a great job at times. Hunter Dickinson, though, is the guy. Hunter Dickinson brings something that this program hasn't had probably since, you know, you could say Mitch McGarry all you want, but this is more like Chris Webber. This dude is dominant. This dude is absolutely dominant inside, and we have not had that. You know, this is not John Teske. I love John Teske. He did a great job at U of M, a winning basketball player. Him and Xavier Simpson were big time for this Michigan basketball program. Hunter Dickinson is an absolute dominant force inside, guys. He absolutely dominates the paint. We have not seen this since Chris Webber. You know, and he's not the same player as Chris Webber. He's not as athletic, I get that, but he is bigger. And he is a wide body, and he's got a, you know, great touch, soft touch off the glass with those baby hooks. He seems to, you know, to suck everything off the rim and off the backboard on the rebounds. He had 26-11 last night against Maryland. This guy is the game changer for this basketball team. And when you couple a talent like him with the experience they have, this is a dangerous basketball team. And I wanted to hold off and not say this because I want to see more. And I still think they have to beat teams like Wisconsin. They have to win Sunday against Northwestern. That'll be a huge game. But I think this basketball team is very good. I think this is a team that has enough experience. John Beilein, I'll take his word for it. He has a lot of knowledge, and he said, look out for this team. This team's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he's right. I think we can get there now and finally say, this is a very surprising basketball team, but Hunter Dickinson is the reason why. Is he one and done is my question for all of you. I'm not going to give the answer today. I want to wait and see. I don't want to be this, prisoner of the moment type human, and I'm not anyway, so I'm not going to go that route yet. I want to see what he does this full season. But I think this guy is the absolute difference maker for this basketball team, and it's not even close, and we all know it. And guess who else knows it? Juwan Howard does, and the team. And that's even more special because they are basically saying, we have to get this guy the basketball, and we're going to find multiple ways to do it, whether it's high-low lobs, ball screen him rolling, and let's just find him. You know, if he's got a guy in front of him fronting the post, we're just going to throw it up there for him. He's going to catch and score. But the ball screen reads and the way they've been able to dish it to him for easy dunks is just fantastic. They get him the ball in the high post. They trust him. And this kid is big time, guys. And when he does get a little more athletic, he's already getting stronger and faster. You're seeing it. You know, he's already really improving. This basketball team is going to be a tough beat, you know, as we get into the end of this season. And if they get to March and they shoot better, this, in my opinion, is definitely a Sweet 16 Elite 8 basketball team right now. Not a Final Four team. There's too much competition on that end. But this is a Sweet 16 basketball team right now. If they play well, they got to play well always. And if they can hit some shots, then yeah. You know, just like anybody, it's dangerous. But Hunter Dickinson is the guy. He is the hunter. And look out for him. It's been a lot of fun to watch him play for U of M this season. Let's finish the show. Michigan State basketball, they look bad. I mean, let's just be honest. The Minnesota game was, that's probably the worst Michigan State basketball performance in a half I've ever seen in my life. I'm not just saying that. I mean, I'd never seen them shoot that poorly. I'd have to look at other games and percentages. I think they shot, what was it, less than 20%, guys, or was it 23% from the field at one point? They were just bad. I'm not seeing the box score. Would they have 16 points in the first half? Was it 17? Whatever it was in the teens. Bad. And what Michigan has right now with leadership, with Eli Brooks, Mike Smith, Isaiah Livers, and Shondre Brown, who's a grad transfer, got to add him in that mix. Michigan State doesn't have that. They don't have a leader. They lost him in Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman. And Aaron Henry is not the guy to lead the way those guys did. He's a silent guy. I mean, he has been more vocal, but he wants to just make athletic plays. When someone needs to control and run this ship, right now it's going all over the place. It's in high waters, and nobody knows how to steer it correctly. That's where Michigan State basketball is right now. I don't know if it can be fixed this year. I think they'll get better, and I think they'll be still a really, really good team. They have so much depth still, but I don't think they know who their core eight is with the rotation. They have not figured out who they can play the most minutes at the five. Kithier is who they start. He's the lesser of the talented players of the five position in Marble, Sissoko, and Bingham, who barely plays now. But he plays because he understands what to do out there. He's a leader, and they just are so lacking leadership. Joey Hauser is really stepped in and played well, but he's not a leader of this program yet. Rocket Watts is in this thing where, you know, we don't know if he's a point guard or a two guard. He's not a leader of this team. Foster Lawyer is a great captain, great leader. He doesn't provide enough, though, to make game-changing plays. This is a program where, out of nowhere, things that we should have thought were going to happen are happening in front of our face. You know, I made a terrible statement on Trouble with the Snap podcast. I drank the Sparty Kool-Aid, and I just thought, with the talent and the depth they had, they were going to be just ridiculously good this year. Everything that we should have talked about, because we all know the game, us real basketball people know the game, they don't have leadership. Their best players aren't great leaders yet. And Tom's had groups like this before. You know, where at the end, remember the year when Kalen Lucas, you know, Michigan swept them, and you know, he had been injured, though, that didn't help, and he wasn't really always a great leader. It was more about he was going to try to get his buckets, make plays. Cassius Winston was a big-time leader for this program. And right now, they don't have it. And I don't know if Aaron Henry has it in him to be that guy. I just don't know. But this team looks discombobulated because they don't have leadership. They don't have one or two guys to bring everybody together and go, no, enough of this. We're not hitting any shots from outside. Drive the ball. Be aggressive. Let's get stops on defense. You know, you don't see that mental toughness with this group. You know, and it isn't lack of skill or talent. It's not even close to that. It's just lack of leadership. And in a conference like the Big Ten, if you don't have leadership and you don't have certain experience of being a leader, you can get ran off the floor because teams like Wisconsin have leadership and their best players are their leaders. Trice is a leader and he'll light you up. You know, Michigan has Eli Brooks, who's been around for a long time. He's not a star, but he's going to, you know, help lead. He's going to silently do certain things as a leader. Isaiah Livers has been around a long time. He's a senior. He'll do certain things to bring the guys together. Mike Smith has been a point guard starter now for 4 years at the Division I level. He's running the show. He's leading guys. They like him. He gets guys together. They look like they're having a lot of fun playing basketball. Michigan State doesn't have that right now. And until they have that, they will not be a good team. So Spartan fans, hang on. I mean, this came out of nowhere for me. I mean, I thought Michigan State would beat Wisconsin at home. I thought they were going to beat Minnesota by 8 to 10 points after the bad performance, or the breakdown, I should say, because Wisconsin is good. I thought that they would get over the bad performance against Northwestern and beat Wisconsin. I thought they would get over the loss to Wisconsin, beat Minnesota. I mean, you get where I'm going. They have not. they've lost three in a row. They've not been able to recover because they don't have the leadership. So three losses in a row, and oh, Nebraska comes at a great time. Nebraska comes at the perfect time because they need a win. And if there's one team that probably could give it to them, it's Nebraska in this conference. So we'll see, though. We'll tune in. Tyler and I will get on Monday. We're supposed to go today, but we're not. We'll go Monday. I miss Tyler. But we'll get on it, and we'll talk about the post game with Northwestern and Michigan because they play this weekend. And then we'll talk Michigan State and Nebraska. Will Michigan State go 0-4 to start the Big Ten season? Wow, that would be absolutely incredible. But thanks for tuning in, man. I want your guys' feedback on these topics. Again, topic one, Russell Westbrook, triple doubles and losing. Talking about one and done, why it's the most important decision for young college basketball players in America and why they typically have to make that choice. Hunter the Hunter, Hunter Dickinson, give me your thoughts on him. He's been amazing. Is he one and done, though? That's my question for you. And will Michigan State recover from this? Or is it a lost cause this season? In 2021, 22 could be better. We'll see. So tune in. Tyler and I will be on Troubled Snap. But this is the Lapcast, the Life and Ball podcast. We give your game life. Give me your feedback on the topics today. It's on my Facebook, JFileLab. Thanks for tuning in.